Rolf loss last night, so we can continue that conversation, work some other stuff in as well. But BT, last night, just as Yankee fans started to feel, just as we started to get behind that team thinking maybe it's going to be different, take the first two from the Stros in a house of horrors down there in Houston, the Yankees and their problems reared their ugly heads.
Yeah, they did, but as I said at the start of the show here, there's really certainly not in a three-game series, though the history with Houston would make you feel better about what the Yankees could be this year. I wasn't as deeply connected to the performance in the Astros, Toronto, Tigers, and Boston series 12 games here as an absolute determining factor as to whether or not I think the Yankees can get to and win a World Series. I've had reservations all year. They've had some very volatile spots. They've handled bad teams, and they've smoked them, so there's been a false reinforcement. But I think when you look at all the things the Yankees do well and all the things the Yankees struggle with, I don't think the Yankees are really that different from any of these other teams around baseball. So it's going to come down to catching the ball, which has been an issue at certain points last night with Stanton and left. Obviously, the bullpen, clutch hitting Judge. But to me, it's more like a pound of flesh. Like, to beat the Astros, you feel good about it. And to lose that way does not feel good. And I'm not here to say that it did feel good because the umpire was awful. Yeah. Yeah, they imploded. The umpire was awful. There's other reasons. But the Yankees have been on a nice roll. I want to see where this goes today, next couple of days. But really, it starts in October.
Yeah, I guess my issue is that this is not any big term like, oh, the Yankee season is over because of the way they lost last night. But it's a problem that continues to happen. Right. And just when we thought maybe we were moving past it, again, it happens. Whether it's the pass ball, Austin Wells not knowing how to block a ball behind home plate as a catcher. Him and Rice have had that problem, and the Yankees don't care about it. Whether it's Giancarlo Stanton in left field, which we know he shouldn't be there. Boone said he wasn't going to be there. He is there. Yankees don't care about it because they want to get his bat in the lineup. Now, hopefully that's just a limited time deal here before Judge gets back in the outfield. But either way, they're doing it in a tight game, in a game that, like, they got trying to win the division here. Every game matters. You're trying to win the division. There's 20-something games to go. You got Giancarlo Stanton playing in left field. This is not spring training. It's not, you know, mid-June. We're down to the crunch time here. It's September baseball. You got Stanton in left field. He misplays the ball. And all those things add up. Bad Devin Williams. Yes, awful umpiring. And that was a big focal point, of course, of the conversation earlier. In case you missed, check it out on the Free Odyssey app. But that's not the reason that they lost. The bullpen imploded. The defense was bad. And yet again, the Yankees coughed up another game. I mean, they've got a ridiculous amount of blown games here over the course of this season.
They've coughed up a lot. And the crazy thing, too, about putting Stanton in left field, like, it's easy to justify, even because, number one, you want Judge and Stanton playing until Judge's ready to play the outfield. And he's not going to be there tonight either. He's not ready to play tonight, if you guys were wondering. But I look at whether it's Fenway, whether it's 314 down the line of right field in the Bronx, whether it's last night out in Houston. The funny thing is, like, Houston might be the smallest because I think they said on the broadcast when I could actually hear it and Prime wasn't interrupted a million times, but Austin Wells' home run would have only been out of that stadium. But so it's short. But the configuration is actually very odd because it's not uniform. When you get that slice back behind Stanton when you get to left center field, That's it's easy from down the line to whatever 15, 20 feet to the right of it, but then you get behind it, it gets tricky. So I wouldn't overthink this. I don't know that I'd run him out there tonight. He's just, you know, he's not. Listen, you're getting away with playing him a lot, which is, I think you're tempting fate though, just because Stanton's been really, really good as a hitter and he's been functional on last night aside as an outfielder. I'm still not going nuts. I mean, this guy's a torn, or not torn, but a pulled whatever, from not even being ready for October, which they need him for. So tighten things up, come out, or, you know, how much you trust Rodon, debatable. I don't really trust him on the road as much. But if you win tonight, it's 2 out of 3, and then there's a better feeling. But last night was brutal. There's no doubt about it.
The implosion hurt. The way that you lose that game, brutal. The Mets also had a rough go of it yesterday, failing to get the sweep of the Tigers. And we mentioned it specifically with Ryan Helsley, who we had a disagreement. I have no problem with him being in that spot. One-run deficit late. I mean, you got to try to find something here with Helsley, but he has been a disaster, was a disaster yet again. I've never seen anything like it, BT. A guy with that type of stuff, who was as dominant as he was, not only a year ago, but this year, before getting traded to the Mets, has become one of, if not the worst pitchers in baseball. I have seen position players more effective in relief outings than I have with Ryan Helsley, and that is a problem, a big problem for the Mets.
You can't pitch him. He stinks, which is why I was all over Mendoza for putting him out there in a one-run game. I think that was the wrong move, clearly. I did not like that by Mendoza. I know that they were losing, not winning, But he's just not pitchable right now. And it's not 2, 3, 4 outings. He's been that bad. It's been basically, I think, 9 or 10 at this point. Ever since he came over, he's been absolute garbage to the point where, you know, you forget about a pitcher. He's quickly becoming, if they continue to play him and he continues to be this bad, the worst trade deadline acquisition in the history of the Yankees or the Mets. He has been wretchedly bad.
I'd have to think about it. There have been some bad ones. I mean, Billy Taylor comes to mind for me with the Mets. Helsley, I think, has been worse than that. But I don't know about the entire history. If you think about the trades that both the Yankees and Mets made, and we'll start with the Devin Williams. I know that was before the season wasn't a trade deadline acquisition. It was before the season. But Williams and McMahon and Cedric Mullins and Helsley, both trade deadline additions. I mean, that has been brutal. Both have been brutal. One worse than the next. I mean, Mullins has been a total zero to the point where they don't even play him in center field anymore. Jeff McNeil getting reps out there. Helsley's unpitchable. Devin Williams has been a disaster the majority of the year. And Ryan McMahon can't buy a base hit. So, I mean, both those trades were supposed to deliver better results, and they have not for each team.
No, they haven't worked out. But I think that of all those moves, I think Ryan McMahon's had the most impact, because once Ryan McMahon showed up, and he's not hitting you right, although he did have a rocket to right field on a fastball late in the game, but he's an elite third baseman. And while Volpe has still been a little skittish, and we talked about this, even plays he's made, he looks out of whack. Ryan McMahon has at least stabilized that side of the infield here, where Mullins, and I know that Taylor's hurt for the Mets, so he couldn't play anyway, he's on the IL. Mullins is not hitting. He's not the defensive center fielder that Taylor is, so the answer wouldn't be Mullins. Helsley's been an absolute train wreck, and obviously the other additions for the Yankees have not worked out so far, with Devin Williams before the season, but even Doval and these, I mean, nobody's really doing their job, except...
one of the other arms that they got wasn't even Jake Bird or whatever his name is. He was down immediately.
Yeah, he got sent down right away from the Rockies. The guy before the Rockies, right? I think that McMahon, to me, has been the biggest upgrade, because the Yankees' left side of the infield went from almost unwatchable and unplayable to at least at third base, phenomenal. Well, catch the baseball as well as anybody.
If you want to inquire or add all the acquisitions that they made, Taylor Rogers, to me, is it Tyler or Taylor? I get that mixed up. I think it's Tyler Rogers. They have the brothers, Tyler Rogers, Tyler Rogers, to me, has been the guy that's done his job the most. Yeah, Bednar hasn't been bad either. But think about it. It's Slim Pickens from all the moves, and everybody was praising all those guys. Oh, not really. I mean, I didn't think the Mets did enough. I said it, both the Mets and Yankees didn't do enough. Yankees overhauled their roster, but it still, to me, wasn't the over-the-top change that they needed. I wanted Kwan, remember, at the time.
You did want Kwan.
And the Mets, I certainly didn't want Cedric Mullins. I was like, bullpen I was okay with. I thought Helsley was going to be good, but they obviously chose poorly. Mullins, I didn't love it, and I wanted another starter, and they didn't do that. So, I mean, there was a lot to be desired, even with the grading that we were giving him, whatever, an A it was for both Cashman and David Stearns.
And to you, like, what's more frustrating? Let's say that Stearns and Cashman didn't do anything, or going out and getting guys who either don't fit New York or just, you know, aren't playing well at this point. To me, you know, because, again, lauding is a little strong. But I was absolutely positive in terms of how I reacted to what Cashman did at the deadline, and same with David Stearns. Now, other teams wanted all of those players. They're not performing for either team right now. It doesn't mean, I mean, like, at the end of the day, obviously, it doesn't seem to be the right moves. But in real time, those moves seem to make a lot of sense.
Yeah, but in real time, sure, but we could say that. It's their job to get them right.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like,
clearly,
we have to adjust it now.
Let's just focus on, you can focus on Williams or Helsley, whatever you want. Now, Williams, obviously, not a trade deadline thing. You want to focus on Helsley? Fine. You got to figure it out. Like, that's got to be part of the equation. Not, what do we got to give up? It's got to be, is Duran better than Helsley? Do we believe his stuff will play better? Is his mentality better for New York?
Yeah.
Again, I don't know the answer.
That's also what you want to give up prospect-wise. That's a big part of it.
No, but that's, to me, that should not be
the part. No, but I'm saying for their evaluation.
Right, but
that's what I'm saying.
That's where they're wrong. So if they said, let's just say, and maybe the better example or the easier one to do it is to say, well, we didn't want to give up more for Harrison Bader, so we settled on giving up nothing for Cedric Mullins.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I would just say, well, who's the better player? Is it Bader or Mullins? Not that Bader is that much better than Mullins, but he is better and has had a bigger impact on the Phillies than Mullins has had on the Mets. That's where I get on the Mets. And obviously with Helsley, there is some kind of an issue. They thought that he was a safer bet for many different reasons, whether it's the stuff, whether it's what they had to give up, whatever it may be. They didn't want Duran. They chose Helsley to be their focal point. And he has been a total... bust and disaster. That's not on me or you. That's on them.
No, there's no doubt.
The people that made the decisions. Yeah. I don't want to hear about it. I'm shocked by it. Yeah. They're the ones who chose him. Figure it out.
Oh, there's no question. There's nothing to figure out now except who you get rid of. I mean, there's no other moves to be made.
Well,
I
gotta fix him, dude.
I know. I'd fix him in the bullpen. That's where you and I really disagree. To put him out there yesterday was ridiculous. But here's my question for you. So if you want Senga banished, which I agree with, why don't you want Helsley banished?
Because I believe more...
Senga's at least done something for the Mets since he got here.
No, I think Helsley's potential is greater to have an impact this year in the postseason than Senga.
Understood, but to me, that like one guy looks as if he's taken a step back in Senga for sure. The other guy looks like he's a double-A project at this point.
Right, well, maybe they could send him down to the minors too. They're trying to get him right in real time. Senga's supposed to be a starter. He's giving you nothing. So send him down to the minors, try to get him right. That's problem number one. Helsley's problem number two. I mean, I'm trying to fix him. He's unpitchable at this point. But I believe that it's worth squeezing every last bit out of Helsley, because he could come in and be an impact reliever later in games, potentially.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I don't think Kodai Senga can have that big of an impact on the Mets in the postseason.
What's the point of expiration? When does the experiment end? I mean, is it a week? Is it two more?
Think of it this way. You'd have to, assuming that they're going to have 13 pitchers, right? 13 pitchers on the postseason roster?
Mm-hmm.
You carry 13 and 13?
I'd have to look at a close, but probably.
So you're going to have to... By that point, I'm not worried about the regular season. Yeah. I'm worried about the postseason.
Right.
By that point, you're going to have to figure out who are your best 13 pitchers that can help us in the playoffs. I do not believe Senga could be a weapon out of the bullpen.
Mm-hmm.
And I also don't trust him to start. Now, maybe he gets himself right in the minor leagues. I don't know. That's why I'm eliminating him. If Helsley, would you trust Ryan Stanek? I would still trust the potential of figuring out Helsley over Stanek when you get to that point.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have guys, there's going to be two guys going to be out of those 13 are going to be guys you don't want to see anywhere near the mound, but I'd rather take my chance with a guy who still throws 102 and was as recently as a month and a half ago one of the best relievers in baseball.
But he also had issues with St. Louis. It was not a flawless run. Like he tripped over himself a few times out there as well. But this is what I don't get. I'm still confused. Like to me, so Senga unravels because he labors and he picks and he picks and he picks. And you look up, he's got 89 pitches. It's the fourth inning, right? But there's evidence that Senga, while he ultimately and eventually implodes and doesn't do his job as a starter, has at least gotten people out. The moment Helsley steps on the mound, it's rocket, 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 rocket. So to me, I think there's more evidence that Senga, even out of the pen, could do something and get people out.
Where's your evidence out of the pen?
Well, where's the evidence that Helsley's the worst pitcher in baseball, dude?
Yeah.
He's horrendous.
Yeah, since he's been in
he that. Stinks.
No, but go back to your Senga point. Where's your evidence with Senga being effective out of the pen?
No. What I'm saying is there.
You just said that.
I'm going to walk
but
you through it.
But that's a part of the conversation.
Well, for sure. There's no doubt. What I'm saying is that there's evidence... And it's ample because he's had a lot of starts where it's not like Senga goes out and gives up 9 runs in the first inning and he's hitting the showers.
Right.
Most of Senga's starts have been fairly stable, and then he's teetered, pitch count, double, gone, boom, 4 1/3, done. But he has gotten outs, and a lot of those starts, he's gotten outs early. So he's come out of the bullpen and gotten outs and done his job, whereas Helsley hasn't gotten anybody out. Now, to be fair, I don't know, I admit this, if Senga went to the pen that he would automatically come out and get out. I don't know that. But what I do know is the guy that keeps getting called is the worst pitcher in baseball in Helsley. He is unpitchable,
yeah,
Sal.
Maybe right now, but that can change. We've seen things like that change before. A month and a half ago, he's one of the best relievers in the sport. So he can be the worst right now. Nobody's going to argue that. He still throws 102. I'll take my chances with that being an easier fix than Kodai Senga, who, by the way, is going to have to be a starter and go out there and give you... do you trust him to start when I have better options to start? I don't have better options, unfortunately, than Ryan Helsley to come out of the bullpen. Who's going to be pitching the high leverage spot? Yeah, Diaz...
Rogers.
Brooks Raley, Rogers, those are three for sure.
Well,
Soto, he's got his issues, but that's fine.
That's fine, lefty, whatever.
So I'll take my chances with trying to figure out a guy who throws 102 and should have a nasty slider that he's got to control. Now, he could be a lost cause. It could be over for him. Obviously, that's the way that it's going. I'm just saying that of the two, I still believe what Helsley at his strength, what he possesses, is more impactful than what Kodai Senga at his best possesses, especially if you factor in Tong in the rotation with McLean, with Holmes, Peterson. Like, I could get by with those guys.
Yeah. I'm not even taken back, but a little confused by Senga's actually done something here for the Mets. Dude, he's had some good moments here.
He has sucked since he got hurt. On that day.
Talking about the throw from Alonso.
Yeah, he's come back and sucked.
No, I know. But I'm saying he's got, like, put it this way. Helsley has zero equity with the Mets. And at least Senga's got some. I'm not saying it's 90%, but he's got more than zero. You've seen him step on a mound and flash good stuff.
Helsley's first outing with the Mets was as impressive a performance as you could have asked for. And I remember being wowed by it. I think everybody in the building was wowed by it. I think people watching were like, oh my God, here we go. He's got nasty stuff.
I understand he's got nasty stuff, so but I mean, they're I hitting like him like he's a batting practice machine. You keep telling me, 102, 102 slider, get somebody out.
I understand.
My God, he's terrible. I would be livid. Like, honestly.
But I'm not arguing that. Yeah.
I'm saying. But
so what do you want to do, DFA him?
Honestly, maybe.
You just said you wouldn't do that with Devin Williams.
No, but here's what I don't want to do.
Devin Williams has sucked all year.
No. He hasn't been better than Helsley?
No, all year? What, are you kidding me?
Look at Helsley. The numbers are better.
Look at
you want to argue stats?
No, you like stats. I like reality.
Wait. No, the reality sound.
Are you telling me that Ryan Helsley was not a better reliever for the majority of this year than Devin Williams? I know you're not saying that.
I'm talking about Helsley as a Met versus Devin Williams as a Yankee. Devin Williams has been better.
But why are you being selective? Devin Williams.
Because I don't know if Helsley can handle New York. That's why.
He can't handle the road with the Mets right
now. I don't know what the problem is, Sal, but
I don't think it's a New York thing. I think it's a he's not getting his pitches over thing.
How he goes in.
Is it a Williams New York thing?
It could be. I've said that it very well could be. I don't know.
But he's also had some success at certain times.
He had one good month. Yeah. We talked about the 0.93 a couple months ago.
Maybe it's the pressure.
I don't know what it is. I just know. Listen, neither guy gives you a lot of confidence right now, Devin Williams or Helsley. But I mean, again, Helsley, it's rocket bench. At least Devin Williams gets a guy out and gets squeezed by the umpire before he fails.
No, for the record, right now, I would take Williams over Helsley. Like, I said that literally last night on SNY. I'm talking about overall. Helsley is blown away Williams' year.
Incorporating the Cardinals.
That's a big part of it. Incorporating the Cardinals.
Ryan Helsley
didn't wake up and start his career as a Met. Look at what he's done.
I understand that, but what I'm saying is Helsley has shown zero evidence that he's fitting in New York in a pennant race.
Right.
Where behinds get tight and throats get dry. I mean, this guy looks like he's terrified of the stage. And every time he shows up, he gets knocked around like a pinata.
See, that I'm not seeing. Terrified of the stage. I don't know where you're getting that from. I don't see that.
Well, I construe an inability to do your job when there's such a drop.
Right.
Right? It's not like he was, if he pitched this way in St. Louis, which we know he didn't, and the Mets were like, he's got good stuff. We think we can make him this massive reclamation project like the other guys they got, right? With the pitching lamp. Then that would make no sense. He was good with the Cardinals. He comes here. He throws up all over himself for the moment he steps on a mound. So
that's not true. His first outing was
not talking about his first outing. Every outing since then.
But his first outing was literally in New York.
Well, what the hell happened? What about the other nine?
I don't know. I'm just saying that it's not since he first got here. So maybe I'm hanging on to the 102. I'm hanging on to the first outing. Maybe I'm hanging on to what he's done in St. Louis. All I'm saying is kicking him to the curb at this point does no good. Whereas I personally, we could disagree on it, and who knows? There is no right or wrong. We'll find out what the Mets do. I would value trying to get Helsley right more than I would Kodai Senga at this point.
Okay, now that was how this whole started. Now we got a break. That's how it started. What I would say is I don't want to see either right now if I'm a Mets fan, but at least from a Mets perspective, Senga's done something for the Mets. This new guy has done zero.
So Andy Martino was on it. He is coming up and making the start on Sunday, as we anticipated would be the case. Still no word, at least I haven't seen it, on whether or not Kodai Senga will accept the minors assignment. But it's going to be Brandon Sproat coming up making his Major League debut. We've gotten used to this now with the Mets. It's been a habit with McLean, Tong, and now Sproat. So that will be on Sunday. So not only do we get the football action to focus on Sunday, Brandon Sproat making his Major League debut for the Mets in Cincinnati.
It's fun to see young kids come up. Schlittler here. Obviously, the Mets have now a trio coming up, and it's really changed the way what you think, at least what I think the Mets could do. Lesser extent, Yanks, because they, you know, just Schlittler is one of them. But I don't know if you know this. Maybe Hoff, maybe this came up on the Rico, whatever. It doesn't really matter. But McLean was the most like highly thought of from an eternal
Sproat first.
Sproat initially.
Yeah, exactly. And then McLean.
I knew that. Went
this
by
year.
Him.
Yeah, exactly.
And Tong always in between the three?
I think Tong just blew up the ranks because he was so dominant.
Well, he played in the Futures game. He was the one who got for the Mets played in the Futures game.
And he was a double A the majority of the year. Then he got called up to triple A and he was lights out there. Mm-hmm. And I think that he leapfrogged Sproat, who's been struggling a little bit. But that to me means nothing. Like, whether he's dominant in the minor leagues, whether he struggles in the minor leagues. I remember Matt Harvey not pitching well in the minor leagues before he got the call up. He gets called up, and he was lights out ever since. So now I will say, and something you alluded to earlier, I don't think you could expect that all these guys are going to come up and be studs every single time out. Even McLean will have a bad outing at some point. Maybe it's Tong who gets hit on Saturday. Maybe Sproat in his debut gets hit. Or the idea to expect, okay, well, Sproat's up great. The Mets are set.
It's not baseball.
It's just not realistic to think you're going to hit on three guys. Maybe you strike lightning in a bottle, and that's what they might need to get through the playoffs and go win a World Series.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying you got to have realistic expectations.
I would agree, but I think what should make Mets fans feel good about this is now you have strength in numbers where 3 weeks ago you did not.
Yeah.
Whereas, 3 weeks ago, it was like, all right, if Senga doesn't fix himself and if Anaya doesn't wake up and fix himself, and at that point, Peterson was just starting to go south, so he was less of a worry. But now you can at least mix and match, and even if Sproat's not great and the other two are, at least there's a basis, a core, to throw out some arms that can, pitch well in October.
Yeah, also, he can't be any worse. So what if he goes out there and gets lit up? Everybody else has been doing that for the most part anyway. Certainly the guy's spot he's taking in Kodai Senga. Hector is in Washington Heights. What's up, Heck?
What's up, guys? Definitely excited for that. Great news before I come on. Looking forward to that. And, yeah, man, listen. We have 22 games left. What I'm thinking is how we're going to fix all these problems that we have. We have 22 games left. Can these young guys come up here, do what they're doing, but maybe go through a little bit of a tough time and bounce back? I don't know if we're going to be able to figure it out, but this is a little bit exciting because I did not want to see Kodai Senga pitch for my softball team anymore. I am done with Kodai Senga. Done with Kodai Senga, and as far as Housley, I think it's both sides, right? Like BT said, you probably shouldn't have had him in there yesterday. But again, BT, I ask you, do you think it's possible to shut this guy down and fix him in the bullpen, like you said, behind the scenes, and then be able to actually bring him back and see if he's fixed?
Well,
or was maybe last night an opportunity to see that,
I got you.
His pitch tipping, I don't know.
I would answer it this way, Heck. I would say it's worth a shot. Because something else has to change, and for it to change, then you've got to take a different approach. There's no guarantee you shut him down for a week and you tweak the mechanics, and maybe he's tipping, whatever it might be. Maybe there's something wrong mechanically, arm slot. You fix it, and no guarantee it works. But at least, and I mean, I could always be wrong with this, but the guy that I'm seeing right now, you just asking for damage. I mean, every time he steps on the mound, he's not going to get meaningful outs. He looks broken to me, so I would try something different.
And I thought it was worth running the risk of trying to get him on the right track in that game where they already won the first two games of that series, down 3-2 late in the game. I thought that was they've tried everything. I thought it was worth the risk. Obviously, it blew up in their face. They lost the game, but they need to get Helsley right. Who knows if they can? They're running out of time, like you said, Hector, 22 games now. Maybe Hector had some inside info. I don't know if you saw this, BT. Hector was out there the other day hanging out with Mendy in the dugout. Did you see that?
The hell are you doing in the dugout? What are you in the dugout for? You keep questioning, BT.
But hey, I don't even know what the hell I was doing in the dugout.
There you go.
He had one-on-one time with Mendy. Mendy invited him out to the game.
Heck, that's cool. Too bad you weren't in the dugout.
He's a special guest of Mendy. Right. He invited me himself, BT. Huh? I don't ask questions. You see me. You want to call me over. You want to invite me to the game. You want to give me batting practice access. Who am I to say no?
No. You got open hands, man. Open hands, open pockets. Take whatever they'll give you.
Take advantage and try to do a little Q&A and have some fun. You know what I'm saying?
Attaboy. Nice.
Long way from calling the overnights where it was just me and you on the overnights, huh, Hector?
What I'm saying? I keep trying to tell you guys, you better watch it. you guys want to take on summer off. You better watch it.
Hey, by the way, next time, thanks for the call. Sit down with Mendy. Tell him not to put Helsley in there in a one-run game.
That's
what you should tell him. If you have access to him like that, tell him that.
He might have told him that.
Although he didn't mind it either. He's kind of with you. He didn't really mind it.
Well, I think the thinking is, okay, they already won the first two games. They're already down 3-2 in this game anyway. And there's a risk that you're taking, knowing that when you bring Helsley into the game, very likely it's going to implode. And he's got to face a minimum of three batters. And by the third, you're just hoping that, all right, it's not worst case scenario. Like the time before when he gave up the bomb to Bader, it was just get by Bader without giving up a home run, and we'll go to the next guy and be okay. Mm. He gives up the home run that ties the game. This spot, it's thinking, all right, we're down, but this is a lower leverage spot, but still high enough to where he should be amped up to see. Let's see what I got with Helsley here. If we could get him back on the right track, obviously you couldn't. It starts out with the base hit, the walk. Like he's just getting tattooed every which way. So to me, it was worth the risk of trying to get him right. I don't know how you could say that though moving forward in any kind of meaningful situation.
Listen, you make a move for somebody who's got a track. He's obviously been a whole hell of a lot better than this. We all know that. I get it. You got to try to get a return on your investment. I just, you know, and we just disagree on this, but I just don't think that that was the spot, really. Now, if the Mets are in the Philly spot and they're looking down at the Phillies rather than looking up at the Phillies, and listen, the Mets are going to make the playoffs no matter what. I'm not saying that, but
well, but that's the thing. They're all looking down at the Reds and Giants.
I understand, but you know, the Giants are hot, and forget it, I'm not worried about the Reds. Giants are hot. You just don't want to flush a game away. It's not like they were.
But they were losing the game.
But they weren't losing 7-2. They were losing by one. Oh, we're going to get back into this.
Well, no, I'm saying, like,
they weren't losing by 9 runs.
But you have to think big picture here, right? So the sacrifice the one game to me for the greater good, meaning if he did get through that inning cleanly, now
it could elevate him.
Yeah,
I get that part.
Now it doesn't guarantee anything. He might get lit up the next time.
Yeah, no, I got you.
But at least you say, okay, well, let's try it in a spot where we're down on the road. Maybe not the pressure of being in front of New York. Look, dude, I don't have the answers. If I did, they'd hire me. They don't have the answers, unfortunately. Nobody knows. All I know is I feel like personally, we could just disagree on this. Salvaging somebody that was a lights-out reliever for the Cardinals that has 100-plus stuff.
Mm.
Like that, somebody's got to be able to figure it the hell out. Like, you can't just let that guy go to waste. And unfortunately, with 22 games left, they might have to.
Yeah. I mean, you're gonna burn rubber and midnight oil trying to get this guy right. And fundamentally, I'm with that. It's just really where they put him in the game. I'm not even saying like DFA him.
Right.
You know, we can yell and we can get nuts over this and all that stuff. I'm not saying DFA. I'm not even saying send him to the minors. I'm just saying relegate him to a position where you give him a chance to work on the stuff when nobody's looking and maybe ease him into a less tight game. But they went the other way and he didn't pitch well, and mentally, he's probably not going to be in the right spot next time he pitches.
Do you think it's more important, and obviously you're trying to win games, there's 22 games to go, like obviously, but do you think it's more important to try to learn as much as you can in these next 3 weeks, 22 games, to get ready for the postseason, or sacrifice that and just do whatever you can to pedal to the metal, balls to the wall now?
Honestly, it's a really good question. It's a really good question because you don't. Some of these guys are new. And you got to see what kind of heart rates they have, and you got to see how they respond to this city and this atmosphere and this stuff. It's different here, we know. I ideally you get a balance where you try to revive somebody, and if it doesn't work, it's not as damaging. Again, you want to,
I get that,
but
right?
I'd rather see you get down 5-2, you give up 2 runs. All right, whatever, game you're probably not going to win anyway. So I could just quibble about when they used him, but in terms of answering your question directly, I still think you're at the point, but it's fading fast.
Whoa.
Where it's the final intel collection, and that it's all systems go. The final 2-3 weeks, roles are clearly allocated. Everybody knows where they're going to be and what they're going to do when you guys get to October.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You can't be. I'm not even saying which one I would do, but I think right now at least they have some little wiggle room with the postseason spot. But you mess around with that, all of a sudden they lose 2 out of 3 to the Reds, or maybe, God forbid, get swept by the Reds.
Hey, or the Giants stay hot.
Whatever, Giants stay hot, you don't know. All of a sudden you could be in trouble again. So postseason's not a guarantee, but I do think there is importance of still trying to evaluate as much as you possibly can before you get to October.
More into it than I am the music today. I don't know if I've known one of these songs we've come back from. I know a lot of people like it. I I'm stuck in my bubble.
Well, by the way, just because you're going to criticize me,
so it's a bad timing, BT.
All of these songs that I'm playing came from a certain soundtrack that we all grew up playing and loving for years.
Really?
Which one?
Which one?
Grease.
No, okay. That I know. Which one? I know
Madden. These are
really?
Songs
the
from
songs.
These are all Matt. The last 2 days I've been waiting for you guys
are
to
you
pick
serious?
Up on this.
I have not recognized maybe one or two.
Every single song comes from the Madden soundtrack.
So
I feel bad now,
years.
Sal.
Yeah, no, let me just take you behind the
holy
scenes.
Holy crap.
Let me just take you behind the scenes even further.
Yeah, he's mad back there.
This last break I go in, I'm like, oh, everything all right? Well,
yeah,
he's like, yeah.
Quiet today. Gonna,
he's inundated with the podcast stuff. So I'm telling BT all this stuff, the conversation. We're talking about the business and all the work that goes into it. What I left out was he's saying, on top of the podcast stuff, I have to come up with the song. So that was a happy accident.
You
gotta
be
right
kidding
there.
Me. Of course you leave that part out. We come back from break. And I said, what the hell kind of music is this?
He wanted you to step in it.
No,
he laid the trap and you did it.
He did. He did like a bear trap right there, right into that little metal
thing. That was just a happy accident.
And of course, off my ankle.
The first words out of your mouth.
That is funny. And by the way, it's not like you said, how do you like the music? You asked me about football.
Right.
Like, I didn't even have to go there. I just instinctually went there. Oh, my God. Listen, Hoff usually has been banging some beats for a while.
Yes.
He plays great music. I don't even remember these from Madden, though. So at least I'm not fronted. It's not like I'm like, I don't really remember. I don't know these songs. I'm like, it's some band because I'm stuck in my 80s, 90s bubble. I'm thinking it's a band that maybe a lot of people know that I don't know.
Do you remember playing Madden?
Oh, of course I played Madden, but I don't remember the music.
Give me the last year. When did you stop? What system and year did you stop?
I'm going to say 95.
Jesus. No, I was still in college then. I was playing Madden in college.
Did you play Madden 95?
And post a little bit.
95. Oh, no, of course it did. Okay.
Yeah. I would say pre-2000. I would say that.
Okay,
I probably stopped playing regularly like 98, 99.
Hmm.
And then I tried to play. I really did. I couldn't figure out the controls.
Yeah, I know. Now it's out of control.
I bought the games. I bought NCAA Hoops.
So
I didn't figure it out. Golf.
Regular PlayStation or like PlayStation 2? I think I stopped on PlayStation 2.
I played
2.
On Sega.
So you stopped at Sega. You didn't get to PlayStation.
I got introduced to Madden on Sega.
Right, me too.
Did I
91,
in,
yeah, 92. Yeah,
probably around there. Hockey 2.
I think I took Sega all the way to Madden 96 or 97.
And then what was next? Was it PlayStation?
I believe so. There might have been...
I might be missing one. I mean, I could also tell you about ColecoVision from 1983, which I used to play.
Yeah.
So maybe that was
the other one? Sega Saturn, I had that. Maybe that was Madden 98.
Sega Saturn?
Yeah.
I never even heard of that.
That was a terrible one.
It wasn't bad.
Joe Montana football, was that what it was?
God, they
had
no,
Sega had Joe Montana sports talk football, yes, just like Sega had sports talk baseball. But I remember Madden in the EA games, and I would say I transitioned from Sega Genesis in about 98 to Sega Saturn, and then from there... PlayStation.
Okay.
And I probably went till about, I think Vic was 04. Was Sean Alexander 07 or 08?
He won the MVP. Let me see. Basically, he won the rushing title from Tiki in 0. Was that 6?
Yeah, maybe around.
Something like that?
I would say something around there, probably pre 2010.
Yeah.
In between 06 and 10, somewhere around there I stopped. And that's it. Like PlayStation 2 was as far as I got. So you didn't even get that far.
No, but I do play games now. I play the show. I play a lot of...
Colt into Madden or
oh,
no?
Oh, God, yeah.
Okay.
Oh,
and
God.
Now, what system does he have?
What does he have? I guess he has PlayStation. He has a couple.
But like 4 or 5?
Who the hell knows?
What do you have? What do your kids have?
I don't know.
I have 3 PS5s in the house.
What? You got more PS5 than you have TVs.
No, I have way more TVs.
Well, because you lost
now.
A TV in the basement.
Well,
you
that is true,
aren't
yes.
They like 500
Did you
each?
Get a new one yet?
Not yet. I got Anthony has to
He's
replace it.
He's still begging
it.
His wife to get it.
Yeah, well. yeah, they were all burnt. I think Santa Christmas gifts over the years they've built up.
Yeah. Santa, generous at the
everyone, listen, I'm sorry. I don't understand how people can have kids that play one device in their house. They all want to play different things.
Right.
You have a
well,
PS5.
You have 3 kids, though, Hoff. It's different.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, but I know people that are like, no, we have one device and that's it. One
are your
PS5
kids still, Sammy's not there yet because she's still fairly young. Are your kids off into Roblox?
Are they? I mean, I think
still?
Colt and him are friends. And
oh,
all
that's right. Yeah.
So can't they play some of these games? Is it on a system or is it on like the iPad or an app?
Multiple ways. Oh, Roblox they can do on the iPad too.
God, man, I'm so like... It's foreign to me now what you could do.
I hate all the technology. I took his iPad. I said, you're not seeing it for months.
Yeah, but the one cool thing about it is
true,
like...
he hasn't seen it for a month.
If you and I were neighborhood buddies growing up, like my buddy Vin, we used to come over and play the games all the time.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We have to come over each other's house. Now,
it could
be like, oh, dude, let's fire
slap
up the
on the headsets.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, though, like, I mean, that's less interpersonal interaction, which is not good for the new wave of young kids because you just talk to each other a little bit less, but... I mean, how sick would that have been in a college or like when you were a young professional sitting there with the headsets in your first apartment? I mean, drinking, hanging out. Like, that would be phenomenal.
Yeah.
Taking bong hits. What?
There was a part of me that thought I would get back into it. I just don't have the time. Like, I could barely watch the actual game tonight, let alone sit there and play Madden for 2 hours.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
But I will be into it. I did hear the morning show. Maybe we'll get into this coming up because we have to a few minutes here break and then get to Peter. But
yeah, we've only been late by 5 minutes every break tonight.
They were talking about, could you sit there and watch an NFL game without fandom interest,
mm-hmm.
without gambling aspect on it.
It's tough all of a sudden.
Without a beverage or two.
Okay, I don't need to drink when I watch. Keep going.
Me neither.
No, definitely not.
Uh-huh. And I think those are the main criteria.
Well, that's what I thought you were going to say. Like, not being able to change the channel during commercials and not reach for a phone?
No scrolling. No alcohol, no gambling.
Alcohol's not an issue. Gambling's not an issue. The scrolling could become
an
issue.
Even fantasy football, though, they said, too.
No
he
fantasy.
He doesn't care about that as much, though. Did you even do fantasy?
Yeah, I got a team, sure.
And you gave up on that, like, 3 weeks in last year.
I didn't draft my team. It was auto-draft. I'm going to be terrible again. I couldn't show
again?
Up. Well, because I came to your house for the barbecue.
That was the draft on a Saturday ahead of Labor
Day? The wife said it wasn't our fault that the knucklehead wives made it that day. Both of them.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's your first problem.
Well,
get the wives running the league?
What I mean is, our wives set the date a month ago.
But what time was the draft? You left our house at like 7 o'clock.
The draft was at 3 o'clock.
3 o'clock in the afternoon on a Saturday?
Yeah, just as he was hitting a home run off of a 7-year-old.
Oh, no, right.
Yeah. More important, teach young Anna a lesson. Don't leave that cutter over the plate.
It was an in-person live draft?
It was a few guys got together, which I always do. Like, listen, I wasn't going to bag the... Of course, I was going to come hang out with you and half of the families, but... I'm like, I'm incredibly conflicted here. So what I didn't want to do, which is why I did the auto draft, and I got Travis Kelce on my team, which I can't stand. God almighty.
Yes.
Yeah, I know.
You hate him more than anybody
I can't
in the league
stand
right
him.
Now.
I think I dislike his brother more. They're both cornballs. I can't stand it. But what I was saying was I really was thinking for a moment, I'm like, all right, let me just take my, because you know I'm a big laptop guy. Let me take my laptop to Sal's. Grab a surf side or two.
Yeah, I wouldn't have a problem with
no,
it.
No, I know.
Jen
but
was like, what, that's rude.
No, Jen, no, she wouldn't care at all. I wanted to be social. I talked to your wife a lot. You know, when we were sitting there having lunch.
One of us did. You know.
It's actually her. I was getting a lowdown. It was her and I more than you and I. Then we got in the pool. No, but I just didn't want to be antisocial. Right. I really never see. Last time I saw Hoff's wife was at my 50th birthday party 2 years ago. So I wanted to talk to her. I love her. Right. I love her more than Hoff, actually. More than you.
Yeah.
You guys can probably say the same thing. Anyway, I wanted to just hang out for a little bit. So I'm like, I hate not being in control of anything. But I relinquish power to be a good guy to show up at my partner's barbecue. And now I'm going to go like 2-15
in the league. And now you got to hit the waiver wires here. So
nah, I have no time for that.